Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
Good morning. I'm Carrie Miller. This is NPR News. We're in depth this hour on what it means to raise young Muslim boys. But first, to the political junkie and Ken Rudin, it's going to be a chaotic week in Washington. I mean, these Senate confirmation hearings are happening simultaneously in some of these committees, and it's happening before some of the ethical vetting is completed. How big of a deal is that, in your view, the ethics side of this?
Well, you're asking my view. Let me give you the Republican and Democratic view. Of course, the Republicans say that this is not unusual, that in the past, George W. Bush and Barack Obama nominees for the cabinet have gone on many in the same week. There are 9 expected hearings this week and the rest for next week. The Democrats say, look, they're rushing to judgment, or Russian to judgment, as I thought I'd say. But I mean, also the fact is that a lot of these ethics issues are not been resolved. The paperwork has not been pushed through. The Office of Government Ethics say it is just too soon. There are conflicts of interest that have not been gone through the proper channels. And so there's a lot of questions.
Well, so it does sound like, though, that the hearings are going to happen, whether the Office of Ethics says they're not completed or not. Isn't that
Mitch McConnell? Yeah. Mitch McConnell said yesterday that we are going full speed ahead. And of course, the Democrats have their ability or their right to object, and they will try to delay it as much as possible. But of course, with 51, there's 52, including Jeff Sessions, with 51 or 52 Republicans in the Senate, you're going to need some Republican defectors if any of these nominees are going to be defeated.
So if you could be in the room for only one of those hearings, would it be the Sessions hearing or would it be the Tillerson hearing for Secretary of State?
I think it would be Tillerson. I know there are a lot of arguments and unhappiness and frankly, just sadness over Sessions, given the fact that he has a lot of questions about racial views and voting rights and women's rights that Democrats have been harping about for 30 years since he was defeated by the Senate Judiciary Committee back in 1986 when he was a Reagan nominee for a federal court position. But Tillerson is more interesting given the fact of his complicated financial dealings with Russia, with his personal relationship with Putin. And again, I mean, the thought of Republicans pushing through a nominee of somebody who's considered pro-Russian, pro-Putin, is exactly the opposite of what the Republican Party used to be known for.
So we just spent an hour here, Ken, asking what Vladimir Putin wants and what he's willing to do to get it. Between the tweeting and the off-the-cuff statements that Trump has made, do you have a sense of what he now thinks about the intelligence briefing and this upcoming relationship that he's going to have to manage? I mean, do you have any clarity on where Trump is on this?
Well, the best example is on Friday, just minutes or maybe an hour or so before he was in get all these intelligence briefings. He was tweeting about the fact that Arnold Schwarzenegger was getting abysmal ratings as the host of Celebrity Apprentice. I'm not even making this up.
No.
I mean, he says Schwarzenegger was terrible compared to the ratings machine DJT.
Yeah. Ken, are you there?
I'm here.
No. Oh, yeah. No, your line just dropped out. Hey, and why not? It's one of those mornings. So.
Well, I...
You were saying that you find it odd that the president-elect is tweeting about Celebrity Apprentice and the ratings when he's got a lot of other stuff on his plate.
Yeah, I don't know if it's odd anymore. I don't know if anything is odd anymore. But it's interesting in everything that Donald Trump has said in the aftermath of his getting his intelligence briefings, he still insisted that there was no Russian interference in the election, that it didn't elect Donald Trump over Hillary Clinton. And that may be true, but the intelligence committees are clearly convinced that Russia did what it could, everything it could do to defeat Hillary Clinton with fake news, with leaked emails from the DNC and the Democrats and all those things. So clearly Moscow had a favorite.
You know, Ken, what I've wondered about is when Trump is inaugurated, when he's now in the Oval Office and you know, he's got his staff around him, are they going to be any more able to influence him when he's actually the president than they appear to be when he's the president-elect, because they don't seem to have much influence as to what he says and does.
That is a good point, although I have read indications that the president-to-be, Donald Trump, will give his cabinet officials more leeway than most presidents. They were going to have, basically, these people will be on their own making policy decisions. So while Donald Trump perhaps works with his, I mean, there's so many facets to Donald Trump, whether his daughter and his son-in-law are in this whole thing. The election was to make him richer than he had been before. There were so many questions about what his real goals are. There's some questions whether he's really a Republican. There's still some Republicans who say there's still question whether he's a conservative or not. And it would seem so ridiculous given the makeup of his new cabinet. But there's still so many questions with, 11 days to go before the inauguration, and both Republicans and Democrats really don't know what to expect, even though a lot of us are just rolling our eyes thinking we know what to expect.
Ken Rudin, the political junkie, is with us this morning. We managed to connect with him, which is a good thing. And if you have a question for him via Twitter, might be a good time to ask that. It's at Kerry, KerriMPR, for your question for Ken Rudin. Ken, here's an interaction about this issue of Russia and, I guess trying to influence how President-elect Trump is thinking about it, and your newsmaker sound of the week. So listen.
It raises this question that I don't understand why you want to raise, which is, why would Trump shelter Russia? That's why I'm concerned.
Let me ask you a question. He's not sheltering Russia, and don't you say that again. He's not sheltering Russia. What
how is he not?
The current president done vis-a-vis Russia for the last 8 years?
I don't understand how the legitimate answer to the question is to blame the current president.
No, I'm not blaming the current president. I'm asking you a question. All of a sudden, we're all frothing about Russia.
I have a feeling there's going to be more of that coming in.
A lot of frothing.
Her future. Who is that?
Well, that's Kellyanne Conway, who is perhaps knows Donald Trump as well as anybody. She, matter of fact, a lot of people felt that his campaign was floundering in the summer of 2016 when Kellyanne Conway and actually Steve Bannon took over the campaign. He seemed to be more on a course towards victory. And whatever you think about Bannon and Conway, they seem to steady the ship and got him elected. So, she has some power. Was that Chris Cuomo talking to him?
Yeah, CNN, right.
That's what it sounded like, Chris Cuomo. But she's right. The issue of Russian influence, over Donald Trump is out there, and you'll see it in the Rex Tillerson hearings. You may see it from some Republicans as well. John McCain, Lindsey Graham, and other Republicans are hawks on Russia. They don't share Donald Trump's feel of a kinship with Vladimir Putin. And whether these guys and gals all get confirmed or not, and I suspect they all will, the question about Russian influence will stay there, and there'll be a lot of questions, just as people were never satisfied by what happened in Florida in 2000. Democrats were never satisfied by what happened in the Al Gore, George W. Bush recount. There are a lot of Democrats who will still be questioning what role Russia has in this Trump administration.
So, Ken, let's talk about one of the other big issues that the GOP is taking up in Congress, and that's the Affordable Care Act. Does it matter politically? Now, not policy-wise, does it matter politically that they don't know what they're going to replace it with yet?
It surprises me that they don't, because they've been talking about repealing it since 2010. And of course, when they had control of Congress after the 2014 election, they still should have had some kind of a plan in mind. But the fact is that every election since 2010, which means 2010, 12, and 14, and 16, Republicans have been running on the thing that we will replace and repeal. So if they don't have a replacement yet, but they still got to, according to the Republicans, they feel that they got to keep they must keep their promise and get rid of at least most of the plan, even though President-elect Trump and other Republicans do feel that some issues like pre-existing conditions and the fact that you're 26 years old and you're still on your parents' plan, those are things that should be retained. But they still feel that they have to keep their promise and get rid of it, and then eventually they'll come up with something. But there could be chaos in the interim.
Yeah, but I see. I don't know that I heard an answer. Your view on this, because if they repeal and people, and I know that this is kind of it'd probably be a phase out, right? Just the way it was a phase in over a certain amount of time. But I mean, they are going to be leaving a lot of uncertainty behind the repeal.
There is, and that's what startles me. I mean, there are some very smart people here who could come up with an alternative to the Affordable Care Act. I'm surprised that still has to be ironed out with Paul Ryan and McConnell in the Senate and Trump's aides. But it's very surprising that given the fact that they've been talking about repealing it, getting rid of it for 6 years, they're still not. And here's what we're replacing it with.
Right.
That does surprise me.
President Obama's giving a speech tomorrow night about his tenure, a goodbye speech. How common is this? Do most presidents do this, Ken?
I don't think they do. I mean, everybody, of course, remembers Eisenhower in 1961, his farewell address and talking about the military-industrial complex.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to be, look, this is one of the rare cases, and not one of the rare cases, but a very one of the cases where there's a real serious difference between the outgoing and incoming administration. And there are a lot of Democrats who want Obama to be a forceful person who stand up to Donald Trump. I suspect that he'll be talking more about his legacy mm-hmm. and what he hopes will be remaining of his legacy rather than stand up to the president-elect.
So he probably wouldn't be doing this if Hillary Clinton had won?
Well, he would be congratulating himself, of course. No, obviously the tone is going to be much different. And I think, you know, you just wonder, you think of all the changes he made in the 8 years he's been in office and all the things he didn't accomplish. And one wonders how quickly people will remember Barack Obama once the Trump administration starts, because a lot of his initiatives on foreign policy, on health policy, and other things, on women's rights, may disappear within a matter of months.
Well, wait a minute. When you say who will remember Barack, I mean, there is still the historic nature of his election and a lot of what he did. Just because there is policy that reverses that doesn't really erase the impact of his administration and the impact of his election. Maybe I should say it that way.
No, that's absolutely true. But you think of all the things he's put forward and all the things he's done to try to change, you know, from the Bush administration, with the things he's done implementing foreign policy, social policy, voting rights, things like that. If it changes on a dime, and it could change on a dime, sure, we won't forget what he did. But ultimately, if there's a more conservative Supreme Court, more conservative choices for courts around the country, ultimately, the question will be, what difference did Barack Obama really make? And that's what the historians will be debating.
Ken, glad you were on the other side. Thanks for bearing up with our technical problems and good to chat. I'll talk to you next Monday.
You need a lot of scotch tape to keep these lines working.
Oh, if you only knew.
Yeah. Thanks, Terry.
Thank you. The political junkie with us on Monday mornings.